Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? It's cold out there, but it is warm in here. I hope you are all comfortable. Well, my name is Andrew McLean. For those of you that don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and we're just so happy to have each and every one of you with us this morning. I'd like to give a special welcome, say hello to all those who will be listening to the message online later today or later this week. And so why don't we give them a big hand here this morning and welcome them. Well, today we are going to wrap up. We're going to be wrapping up our sons and daughters message series. And so I'm going to just give you a quick recap. In week one, we talked about how when Jesus came to earth, when Jesus arrived on scene, how everything changed spiritually. It signified a massive shift. And God revealed himself to us as Father. And that when we say yes, when we give our life to Jesus Christ, what happens is we are actually adopted into the family of God. How many of you are glad you were adopted into the family of God? Like, we're no longer servants, we're no longer slaves to sin, but Scripture says we are sons and we are daughters. And then in week two, I taught about some of the promises that we have been given as sons and daughters. And then last week, I communicated on the fact that God chose us and how that should bring us so much hope. And so if you missed any of those messages, I encourage you to listen to those online. We've got them available for free. We have an iTunes podcast on our website as well as in our church app. And so I want to get you caught up on that. But in today's message, we're going to kind of shift gears. We're going to stay in the same vein, but we're going to shift gears from where we've been. And we're going to look at this idea of, now that I understand my position as a son and daughter of God, what does it look like for me to actually fulfill that role? So in other words, I realize now who I am, but what are the things, what are the responsibilities, what is God looking from me as a son or daughter? And so I'm really grateful. I got a really special treat for you this morning to have my pastor, Pastor Matt Keller, the lead pastor at Next Level Church in Fort Myers, and he's going to share via a video today this incredible message with you. So I encourage you, in your service guide, there's a sermon outline. Go ahead and pull that out, take some notes, and just enjoy the message today.
What's up, Lifeway? Hey, this is Pastor Matt Keller, lead pastor of Next Level Church in Fort Myers, Florida, and I am so pumped that today you guys get to experience a message that I shared on the characteristics of sons and daughters. And I shared this at our Next Level Leadership Conference last fall, and your pastors were in attendance for that session. And so I'm talking to a room full of about 430 ministry leaders, pastors and ministry directors and so forth. But here's the thing. As soon as you hear me talking, you're going to go, holy smokes, he's talking to me. So get ready, you guys, because this message is going to speak to your heart. I believe God's going to speak to you in a huge way through this message. So lean in, get ready, take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. Love you guys. Enjoy the message.
Off. And I want to go practical this morning. And so here's what I know. I know that we're all sons and daughters in God's house. But here's what I know. I know that God's house works best when it's seen and when it runs like a family. And so the local church that God has placed you in, God has placed spiritual authority there. Now, I know that for some of us, we come from a background when the minute we hear the word spiritual authority, we kind of freak and we're like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Don't even go there. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to not do that. Okay, here's what I need you to do. Okay, I need you to embrace this idea that God's church works best when it's seen as a family. And here's the cool opportunity we've been given. Okay, we've been given an opportunity as the church, the Big C Church, to really speak right into a culture that is so fatherless today that the world is breaking apart. And is it possible it's breaking apart at the seam of fatherlessness in our world today? And And we, the church, have been given an incredible opportunity to right the ship in our world and provide something to so many people who have never had this before. This idea of spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, spiritual authority in a God-honoring, submitted way that we submit to our leaders as they submit to Christ. That there's this beautiful thing that God has created in his church to be a model to the world. And where so many millions in the young generations, especially the millennials, Generation Z, are growing up in a fatherless reality, they have the ability to step into the body of Christ, the local church like yours, like mine, to step into our churches and see something beautifully modeled for them, and in that process receive the blessing of the Father through the bride of Christ, through the local church. Does that make sense? So I want to talk about characteristics of spiritual sons and daughters this morning. Characteristics of spiritual sons and daughters. Because each one of us have been placed into a house with spiritual parents. That your pastor's wife, are essentially spiritual moms and dads, if you will. Okay, we're going to use that imagery this morning. We've been using that imagery all the way through this conference. And so I want to speak for a few minutes to us as team members. And this is a talk that Sarah and I taught to our staff back in May of this year. And it's just been so powerful for us to get practical about what it means, how is it characterized to be a son and daughter in your local church, in your local house. And if we can get this right, staff members, if we can get this right, key volunteers, if we can get this right, team members, then here's what happens. The anointing will flow in our houses effectively. That's what's at stake, because the Bible says that where there's unity, he commands a blessing. And that's what's at stake this morning. So I want to give us six characteristics of sons and daughters. Six characteristics of sons and daughters. Here's the first one. Number one, sons and daughters are open and teachable. Sons and daughters are open and teachable. In other words, they have a desire to learn from those God has put in their lives. They have a desire to learn from those that God has put in their lives. There's an understanding that spiritual fathers and mothers are teachers at heart. Team members, you got to know that. Your pastors, they are teachers at heart. These spiritual moms and dads that God's placed over us in our life, they have thoughts, and sons and daughters in the house enjoy learning from them. Team members, listen, God has anointed your leaders and placed them to speak into any and everything in your life. That is a blessing from God. We're not orphans anymore. We're not orphans. And so, spiritual sons and daughters see those leading them as someone who can help them. Somebody say, help them. They see them as someone who can help them reach their full potential in two ways. First, in general, in our life. That God's placed you in a house where you have spiritual parents who have the ability to help you in general ways all across your life. But then secondly, specifically, God's placed you in a house where your pastor, your pastor's wife, they have the ability to help you succeed in your role in that house. So see, spiritual sons and daughters have a belief that a spiritual mother and father knows what I may not know and can see what I may not be able to see. That's the belief. That's a characteristic of a son and daughter in the house, that they believe that. Isn't it interesting, you guys, that the best athletes in the world still have a coach? We never outgrow a coach. The best golfers in the world still enlist a coach. You know why? Because they understand that there are just some things in their swing that they can't see. There are just some things. LeBron. And all of Cleveland collectively went, oh. LeBron has a coach. Can the coach play in every area as well as LeBron? No. But the coach can see what the player can't see. And so watch this. The same is true in the spiritual house of God. That as spiritual sons and daughters in the house, we have to trust and believe that our coach, that our spiritual mom and dad, that they have the ability to see in our blind spots. And do you know what a blind spot is? It's a blind, wait for it, spot. It's a spot in our life, a spot in our character, a spot in our attitude, a spot in our heart, a spot in our behavior, a spot in our presentation style that we can't see, that's blind to us. And spiritual sons and daughters in the house are open and teachable. They're looking to their spiritual mom and dad going, help me get better, help me get better, help me get better. Number two, spiritual sons and daughters have a desire to learn from their father and mother. They have a desire to learn from their father and mother. So first, they're open, they're teachable, but secondly, they have this desire to learn. And here's what I mean by that. Spiritual sons and daughters ask proactively. They seek out learning. The key word in this second point is desire. Everyone say desire. See, for whatever reason, God allows spiritual parents in our life to see things, to know things that can help us, especially as it relates to the vision of the house. Because the vision, God gives the vision to a pastor, a lead couple, and his wife, and then it flows down from there. Psalm 103, the anointing flows down from the head, then to the rest of the body. And listen, as pastors, as leaders, I teach this in our next level coaching stuff all the time. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish that we could just go vision and everybody could see the same thing. But what God does is, and I use the sunset illustration, that if you picture a sunset in your mind, there's no right or wrong sunset, but God will give the picture of the sunset first to the pastor, to that lead couple, and then from there it flows down. So watch this, team members. In terms of the vision of your team, the student ministry, your worship ministry, your kids ministry, in terms of the vision of the house, your pastor and his wife, they see it first. And that means we need their voice. Anybody like Jimmy Fallon? Okay, I'm a big Jimmy Fallon fan. I just like him. I just think he's funny. I think he's revolutionizing late night. I just like him. Well, it's interesting to me that Fallon, of course, he has, you know, all these celebrity guests on his show, right? Movie stars, TV stars, whatever. And it's interesting to me that in that format, and of course, this has been true for 50 years since Johnny Carson and even before that and so forth, that those late night hosts, they interview guests. They could just let the guests come out and talk. They're professional actors. Like, they know how to be in front of a camera. In fact, there are times where a guy like Fallon will take a week off and they'll actually have one of their previous guests be the host. Well, then why don't they just let him come out and just talk for 12 minutes? Why does Fallon interview people? Here's why. Because Jimmy Fallon knows his audience best. And so he knows when he has an actor or an actress come out and sit on that couch, he knows what his audience needs to hear most. He knows what his audience will be able to hear best. And it's his job as the interviewer, as the host, to represent his audience so that he pulls out of the guest what's best for the audience. The same is true with your pastor and his wife. They know the sheep of the flock in your church best because God has anointed them for that. So, as sons and daughters in the house, it's our responsibility then to go to our pastor and his wife often and say to them, hey, when you think youth ministry, what do you see? What picture do you see? Hey, when you think worship, how do you see that? What do you think about that? Help me tweak that. There's a desire. There's this proactive asking. And listen, as a spiritual father in a house, a local church like this, I'm just telling you, we got thoughts, man. And our thoughts are only good. We just want to help because we see the sunset. First, it's just the way God made it, scripturally. So watch this. It is to your advantage to try and get inside the head of your leaders as much as you possibly can. Because we have thoughts and we'd love to share them, but we don't. If you put that burden on us all the time, it becomes a burden. Hey, can I give you some advice? Hey, can I talk to you? Hey, can I help you? Hey, would you mind? Watch. Spiritual sons and daughters in the house have a desire. Everyone say desire. A desire to learn from their father and mother. Number three, spiritual sons and daughters in the house are willing to receive. Spiritual sons and daughters in the house don't just have a desire. They're not just teachable. They have a willingness to receive. And see, here's the power in this, team. With openness and willingness to learn, there's also a willingness to receive it. Whatever it is that spiritual parents want to impart. Sons and daughters know that parents see their potential. And they know that part of the responsibility of spiritual shepherds, spiritual parents in the house, is to help their sons and daughters reach their full potential. James chapter 3 verse 1, what does it say? Not many of you should seek to be teachers, my brothers and sisters. For you will be judged more harshly. Team members, staff members, listen, here's what you need to understand. Your pastors will one day stand in judgment before the throne of God on how well they helped you reach your full potential for the kingdom. So here's what that means. The more willing and eager you are to receive from instruction, correction, tweaking, advice, perspective from your spiritual leaders, the more the whole house works awesome. We only have your good in mind. And this is where it gets tricky, because I understand that some of us come from a background where that wasn't the case, where we were hurt by spiritual leaders who didn't have our best interest in mind. Well, good news. You're going to have a chance today before you leave this church. Not that we built in this time, but it sounds like you better. To get that right with God. Because listen, I'm just telling you, in this tribe, in this network, in this family, we're going to be leaders. Come on, senior pastors, I'm talking to you. We're going to be leaders who are secure enough to let those underneath us rise, okay? You're in a house now where you've got secure leaders who are going, you know what? This ain't just about building my deal. This is about me helping you let your dream come true, okay? I just want you to know that. That's the kind of house you're in. That's the kind of house you're in. So listen, don't let your past affect your present and your future, because some of you are holding your leader at a stiff arm right now, and it's because of your past. Because you go, yeah, well, I had a pastor back then, and he didn't, or she didn't. Okay, it's a new day. We're going to start fresh. As of this conference, we're starting fresh. And I'm going to believe the best that my leader only wants. Okay, listen, staff members, your spiritual parents aren't always going to say it right. It's not going to come out right every time. It's just not. You know why? Because we're human. And sometimes we don't sleep well either. And trust me, the older you get, the worse it gets. Good golly. What I'd give for a bladder that's bigger. What's up with that, Dad? Listen, even if your pastors, your leaders, your spiritual parents don't always say it right, or it may not come out right, listen, sons and daughters, spiritual sons and daughters in the house, they know that their parents' heart is always, only, and ever for them. And team, listen, this is where grace comes in. This is where we're always being able to take even hard things said to us, being able to take those to our Heavenly Father is so important. That's what mature believers do. That when something hard comes down, even that no discipline seems pleasant, it says in Hebrews, that even when discipline comes down, even when hard things comes down, because that is the role of parents, to say hard things sometimes, even when those hard things come down, even when it hurts us, that's where we have to be spiritually mature enough to go, you know what? I'm going to see past them real quick. I'm just going to take that to my Heavenly Father and go, you know what? They're allowed to have a bad day. They're allowed to not say it right. But it doesn't negate the truth of what's being said. We can still receive it in our heart and then go to our Heavenly Father and go, Heavenly Father, they didn't say that very well. I wish they would have phrased that differently. I wish they'd have said that differently. And listen, if we can get this spiritual principle of being able to go to God, everyone say go to God, If we can get this spiritual principle of being able to just go to God with whatever hurt, whatever offense comes our way, this will help your marriage. This will help your parenting at home. This will help every area of our life. Because Jesus said in Luke 17, 1, that in this world, offense will surely come. You're gonna get offended. Your pastor or his pastor's wife is going to hurt your feelings. They're going to offend you. And it is paramount, if we're gonna lead healthy churches and be healthy staff members and healthy followers of Jesus, it is paramount that we're able to take those hurts, those offenses, to our Heavenly Father. Because otherwise, here's what the devil does. He gets us to hold those in, and now we stiff arm our pastor again. And all of a sudden, a root of bitterness, the Bible calls it, gets planted in our heart. And the devil goes, got you. And where there's a lack of unity, where there's disunity, the blessing lives. It's all in the Bible. We just got to know how to take it and receive it and apply it. Amen. So number three, it speaks to this willingness to receive. This is so big. Number four, spiritual sons and daughters joyfully honor and serve. Number four, spiritual sons and daughters joyfully honor and serve. That they see what they get to do in the house as a get to do. You know we don't have to do this, right? Home Depot's hiring. But it's easy, isn't it? It's easy for us to just get our head down, doing ministry, doing our thing, focusing on our deal, that we start to lose the joy. We start to forget that this is the best thing on the planet. Right? We can lose our joy. We can lose the honor of serving in the house. Listen, you don't have to do this. God will let you choose other than respond to your call. And I believe in every call, God gives us seasons where he will allow us to choose if we want. So God will let you choose. But there's something powerful that happens when sons and daughters in the house remember that love is the motivation behind everything we do. And when there's love, there is joy. And some of us this morning, we need to remind ourselves, we love this. We love this. Man, we get to do this. Is it everything we ever hoped it would be? No. That's called heaven. We ain't there yet. We're always wanting, always yearning, always striving for completion, for perfection. That's called heaven. But on this side, we get to live in imperfection. We get to live in the beauty of the imperfection of the body of Christ. And some of us need to stop holding the body of Christ to a perfect standard. It's just not there. We're flawed, we're imperfect, but thank God for the blood of Jesus. Where would we be? Where would we be without the local church? Where would we be without the bride of Christ? Where would we be without the blood of Jesus that covers our imperfections as leaders? We are sinners saved by grace. So listen, as sons and daughters in the house, we got to embrace the joy and honor of serving in this house. See, sometimes love has to say hard things. We've mentioned it before over the last couple of days, but it bears repeating. We believe what it means to truly pastor someone is that they are known, loved, and challenged. Everyone say that with me. Known, loved, and challenged. One more time. They're known, loved, and challenged. That's what it means to truly pastor people. Well, some of us want to do the known thing, and some of us, we love the love thing, but when it comes to the challenge thing, even with our own team, we're like, I don't want to do that. Well, then you're not really pastoring them. And they're never going to reach their full potential because you're not willing to challenge them. Yeah, but what if I challenge them and they don't like me? Welcome to the ministry. known, loved, and challenged. And listen, staff members, sometimes your spiritual mom and dad in the house, they have to love you by challenging you. But watch this. In those moments, that's a test of our maturity. Here's why. Because teenagers think that love is getting what they want. If I had an organ, I'd preach right now. No. Teenagers think that love is getting what they want. Parents know that love is getting what you need so that you can mature and become more like Christ, Ephesians 4. That's the role of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, leaders in our life, spiritual authorities in our churches. The role is that they might be the equipping of the saints that we might, what does it say, mature. We might grow up into the fullness that is Christ. That's the point. Known, loved, and challenged. It's not fun to talk about, but it's a part of life. And it's a part of life in the family. And every parent knows that. So listen, some of us, we need to mature a little bit as team members. We need to mature a little bit as staff members and step into the reality that sometimes our spiritual mom and dad have to come to us and go, listen, this ain't about what you want. I love you. This is about what you need to step into a more full perspective and impression of Christ. So spiritual sons and daughters embrace that, joyfully honor and serve. Number five, spiritual sons and daughters are loyal to the vision of the house. Spiritual sons and daughters are loyal to the vision of the house. In other words, they protect the vision of the house. See, loyalty is remaining committed to those whom God's brought into our lives and has called us to serve, even when things get tough, even in times of difficulty. Loyalty is developing an allegiance and respect toward one another. Giving each other grace, showing each other the benefit of the doubt, allowing each other to be on a journey. Guess what? Your spiritual mom and dad, your pastors, guess what? They're on a spiritual journey too. And they're going to be different a year from now, 2 years, 3 years from now than they are today. And as spiritual sons and daughters, don't we love that kind of grace? I know I love it in my home at home with my two teenage sons. I know that as a dad, I'm a good dad, but I'm working on being a better dad. And the older I get, number one, the more I realize time flies, good golly. And number two, I realize I gotta work on me. Just a week or two ago, my oldest son, Will, he was 18, he and I got into a little thing, and all of a sudden, it was like we were in the kitchen, he was in the kitchen getting something to eat, and I was around the counter, and like within like, come on, Dad, it's like 48 seconds, like we went from zero to, we're going to kill each other in 48 seconds. And Sarah's like, hey, you guys, knock it off, like, well, somebody call timeout, go to your corners. And I'm like, well, he did it. And he's like, well, he didn't. So my son and I sat in his room for 90 minutes, probably almost 2 hours. We had an awesome conversation. And guess what? I had to forgive him in my heart a bunch of times. And he had to forgive me in his heart. He had to say some things I needed to hear. And I had to say some things he needed to hear. That's called mutual submission. That's called love. That's called being in the family. We're loyal to each other. We don't just quit. He doesn't go, fine, I'm out. And I don't go, fine, you're out. No. We're just loyal. We're just learning. We're just getting better. We're just getting better. We're just learning each other better. Spiritual sons and daughters are loyal to the vision of the house. They're willing to just plant their feet and go, listen, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. We'll get through this. We're just going to work through this. Perseverance, patience, which is this, an opportunity to grow the fruit of the Spirit. We don't run. We just lock it in. We go, all right. Now listen, here's the deal. It's Genesis 9, right? It's him, Shem, and what about Japheth and all of whatever those Old Testament deal. It's ham, turkey, and salami, bro. We all know the story. Noah sinned. Noah messed up. The dad messed up. And what happened? Ham exposed it. But Shem and Japheth, what did they do? They covered. They walked in backwards and they said, no, we're not gonna expose dad's sin. We're not gonna expose dad's sin. Listen, siblings resent vulnerability and weakness. But watch this. Servants expose it. Sons cover it. Your dad's not gonna be perfect. He's going to do things. Your spiritual parents are going to do things. Rub you the wrong way. Say things the wrong way. Listen, servants expose. Sons cover. Now listen, I'm not talking about immorality. I'm not talking about gross, immoral sin. I'm not talking about infidelity. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, that's a whole nother deal. That's a whole nother deal. That's why we got to have our churches politically, not politically, but our structural, yes, has to be in place, that there are checks and balances to all that, okay? That's such a big deal for those reasons. I'm talking about family life. Spiritual moms and dads aren't going to get it right every time, but there's grace. We cover, because that's what sons and daughters do. Number six, talking about characteristics of spiritual sons and daughters. Number six, spiritual sons and daughters are open and trusting with their heart. Are open and trusting with their heart. Here's what that means. As sons and daughters in the house that God has placed you and I in, we have to be willing to trust God first with our heart, with our dreams, with our visions, with our ideas. Ultimately, we have to trust God with those. But secondly, then, we have to be willing to reach out and trust our spiritual mom and dad in the house to help us, watch this, steward those dreams and passions and ideas and visions that we feel like God may be putting in us. See, we're back to trust again. Watch this. We have to trust, not trust people. We have to trust God, that he has placed people in our life in this season to help us steward what we feel like God may be birthing and doing in us. So here's what that means. We ultimately put full trust in God, but then we trust that God has put us in this house. And so spiritual sons and daughters choose to be vulnerable with their future hopes and dreams with their spiritual parents. And they're willing to, big Bible word, don't freak out, submit those to these spiritual moms and dads, the leaders God has placed in their life in this season. This is how we believe it works best. Not that sons and daughters have to hide. This ain't corporate America, where you put your resume out there and you never tell your boss, you take vacation days because you're doing interviews. And then you come back in and you go, oh, hey, by the way, I'm taking a job across the state or across town or at another company or whatever. And what do? Get a box. We'll walk you out. We need your keys. That's corporate America. The church should be different. We must be different in order for it to be right. Because watch, if that is the way sons and daughters have to leave, then what we're doing is we're causing them to take on an orphan spirit. And so we, spiritual moms and dads, must be secure enough, open enough, and inclusive enough to be able to say to the spiritual sons and daughters, we want to know your dreams, your passions, your visions for your life. They're safe in this house. You don't have to leave the house to go fulfill those. You get to fulfill those in the house, even if that means leaving, because there's a difference between leaving and being sent. And we got way too many church planners. We got way too many ministry leaders who are leaving the house instead of being sent from the house. And listen, spiritual moms and dads, that's on us. Are we secure enough? Have we created a space that's secure enough and safe enough for our sons and daughters to come to us? Hey, leaders, when was the last time you asked your staff members, what's the dream in your heart? That's on us. Because if we're not creating a safe space for the sons and daughters in our house to dream and envision and submit their dreams and visions to us, then they'll leave and they'll take them with them. That's on us. As spiritual moms and dads, we got to create that space to go, hey, come here. It's like your kid going to college. I mentioned my oldest is 18, he's a senior. He's going off to college, okay? It is backward for him to do a whole bunch of research in secret, go look for 3 or 4 different colleges, apply to colleges, even, you know, spend the night at his buddies, but secretly go explore and find, go look at a college visit and come back, and then sit us down and go, oh, hey, by the way, I chose to go to this college. You guys cool with that? Will you bless me? Well, every parent in the room's like, no, 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 that's not how it works. We want to go with you on the college visit. We want to help you in the application process. We want to discern what God's will is for you and what college he wants you to go to. Does that make sense? That's how it works best with our biological kids. Well, that's how it should work best in the body of Christ. That the spiritual sons and daughters can come to spiritual moms and dads and go, hey, I got a dream. I think maybe I'm supposed to church plant. Cool. And then watch this, sons and daughters. Submit that vision to the leaders God's placed around you. Here's why. Because that's where the blessing and anointing flows. Many of you know I serve on the lead team of the ARC, the Association of Related Churches, National Church Planting Organization. The first 2 churches ever planted by the ARC were Chris Hodges, Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama, one of the largest, most influential churches in America today. It's unbelievable. And 2 was Rick Bezette, New Life Church in Little Rock, Conway, Arkansas, also one of the largest, most influential churches in America. Well, before Pastor Rick Bezette planted his church in Little Rock, he was on staff at Bethany World Prayer Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with Brother Larry Stockstill. Little known story about Rick, he went to Brother Larry a couple of years before he moved to Little Rock, and he said, I think maybe something's stirring in my heart for church planting. And you know what Brother Larry said to him? Good, I affirm that. But we've got a couple of big things in your areas of ministry here at the church that we really need to get rocking and get solid and get off the ground. So let's revisit this conversation in a year. And you know what Rick did? He said, okay. And he went back to his office and he worked his tail off and he served like crazy. Well, guess what? It was in that year that a man named Billy Hornsby met with a man named Greg Surratt. And while they were golfing on the golf course, Billy looked at Greg and said, what's the dream in your heart? And Greg said, I want to plant 2,000 churches. And Billy said, well, I've got a dream to see that dream come to pass. And Billy and Greg created what you and I know now as the Association of Related Churches, the church planting organization that is literally changing the face of church planting across the world. And when Billy and Greg said, who should we get to be our first 2 church planters? They chose Billy's son-in-law, Chris, and Chris's best friend, Rick. And if Rick Bezette doesn't submit his vision to Brother Larry, he doesn't become the first, second church planter of the ARC. And I would argue, he doesn't ever see the kind of fruit that he's seen in the state of Arkansas. You can leave, or you can be sent. See, there's power in submission. And again, the church has gotten so wrong in the last 30 or 40 years. I get that. But my goodness, what? Okay, well then come on. Let's just get it right. What if starting with us, starting today, starting in our generation, we just decide we're going to get it right? 6 characteristics of sons and daughters. So, a couple of challenges for us. 1, I want to challenge the leaders.
This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just wanting us to be very still, very quiet in the place. There are some of you who've walked in and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never given your life to him. And I want you to know this is a great morning. This is a great morning because God wants to adopt you into his family. You can leave this room. You can leave this auditorium this morning being a son or being a daughter. But there is another group of people that I want to talk to in the room. There are some here that because of past hurts, because of pain that you've experienced maybe in another church by other leaders. Some of you, you're walking around and even though you may say, well, the Lifeway is my church home or this is where I belong, truthfully, you're a spiritual orphan. And so regardless of what place you find yourself this morning, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus for the very first time, or if you're ready to come back into alignment and you want those privileges that are afforded to sons and daughters, and you want the anointing and the blessing and power of the house to come into your life, I want to pray for you. I think Pastor Matt did such an amazing job teaching this message to us this morning. And so with no one looking around, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus for the first time, if you're ready to come back into line, if you're ready to maybe give some hurts that you've carried, maybe because things that people have done to you, you've held spiritual leaders away from you, people that God has sent into your life to help you, I just want to pray for you. So if you find yourself in either of those places, would you just lift your hands? Is there anybody here that would say, yes, today I'm ready to say yes. Thank you. There's a hand there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. Lord God, we thank you that you've called us to be sons and daughters. And so, Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray for those that raise their hand that are looking to say yes to you for the very first time. Lord, we commit our heart to you. We commit our lives to you. In fact, Lord Jesus, we repent. And that's just a word that means we stop going our own direction. And instead, we determine to move towards you today, Jesus. Lord God, I pray under the sound of my voice, Lord God, I know that there are people in this room that have been hurt by past spiritual leaders, and because of that, they're not able to fully walk and step into the destiny of who God, who you've called them to be. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that just right now, Lord Jesus, that we would release those things. We open up our hands and we give them to you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would find us, Lord, as sons and daughters, Lord Jesus, faithful of the things that you've called us to, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we just ask all of this in your amazing, wonderful, powerful name. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.